Gamers, we are back, baby. We are back, and oh boy, do we have a fun game to talk about and react to this week after the Lions beat the Tennessee Titans, who is a professional football team, 52 to 14. Just an absolute ass kicking. It looked like an Alabama versus like some school that they pay to play Alabama and come to Alabama to play them just to get their ass kicked. This was just an absolute just ass kicking up and down, and we're going to get into all of that. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. I am Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Greetings, Lions fans.
And Rud Dog.
Yo.
And our producer Kid Jay is here as well. He might chime in every once in a while. So, gentlemen, 52-14. I mean, if I told you the Lions were only going to throw for 94 yards and be outgained by 150 yards on offense versus what the Titans produced, you'd have been, I'm not sure about that. But it turns out the Lions special teams, huge difference maker in this one. Khalif Raymond, 19 yards short of the NFL record for return yards in a game. Oh, so close. And then a turnover by the special teams. I mean, just an incredible performance from the special teams. But defensively as well, creating turnovers, four turnovers in the game in total. UJ, I'll throw this over to you first. Just reactions to this, your initial reactions to everything in this game.
It's weird how this game went, because we were starting to pile on the score late in the first half, and I still felt like we were not playing a good game. And yet the score is just going tick, 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 tick. Like, yeah. You can almost watch the thing just like a meter just running. The score is going up. And I still felt like we weren't playing that good, which is a weird feeling. Like the defense, we allowed a couple long runs, which atypical of our run defense. We were not getting good pressure on the quarterback for a while there. And, you know, just in the beginning, it was, looked a little shaky, if you will. But as the game progressed, it just was, wow. It was just like, I don't know how you describe it, but man, it's just like we could do whatever we wanted, literally. And our defense, like I said, I thought we weren't playing good, but we started turning the ball over, creating turnovers. We had short field position constantly. Our offense was just, whatever they drew up worked. They could have dropped plays.
Do whatever they want.
And it was incredible. Just a really fun game to watch from a fan perspective. No pressure. I didn't feel my gut churning all the time, you know, waiting for the big play. It was just kind of a fun break for a Lions fan, I guess.
Another game where the Lions had more touchdowns than incompletions again, by the way. So it is wild what is going on and how easy they're making it look. Like, Ben Johnson is just scheming these guys, like, open by 10 yards routinely. Especially in the red zone, just a lot of open. Now, I think we were playing a team this week that gave up in a lot of ways, like, early on. They traded away a couple of their best players early in the week, and that seemed to affect their desire out there. I don't know, but it was bad. Rud Dog, what are your initial reactions to this game, though?
It kind of reminds me when I play my buddy in fighting video games, you know, like Fighters, when you 2D, like Tekken, you know, Mortal Kombat, like, I'll think I'm doing great, and I'm just, like, giving all these great punches, kind of like they were getting some nice pressures and sacks early on. And then I realize, like, just, like, as time goes on, he's just settling in and destroying me. And I'm like, I feel like I'm doing really well until I realize, oh, my God, I'm getting wrecked. And that's kind of, I think, all the Titans felt in that game. They gave us a nice little flurry. It was high energy out the gate. Like, they kind of punched us in the mouth. But this Lions team, it's just like, when a big guy leans on a small guy, eventually he's just going to crumple. Like, you call this a trap game? It was like a trap game in the way a mouse trap is a trap to an elephant. Like, this game, we just, you know, we stomped on it, and we stomped on the Titans, and we did our business. It wasn't all pretty. I think, you know, they had some good players, and they were playing hard, and some of our guys lapses in concentration here and there, but overall, just we outclassed them by miles.
Yeah, and I mean, so that, like you guys mentioned, this game starts off with Lions three and out to start the game. It's like, oh boy, like this is a classic trap game type thing. And then they come up with a nice pick, Nowaski with the pick, pressure by Wunzirike on the play.
He had a great game.
Oh yeah, and then they turn around in two plays for a touchdown. David Montgomery, beautiful run. I don't know if you saw on the David Montgomery touchdown, Penei Sewell took Jeffrey Simmons and plowed him 9 yards backwards into the end zone. That's like one of the elite run stoppers in the NFL. Yeah. Penei Sewell just completely wrecked him on the play. It was a beautiful thing to watch.
He's the elite tackle in the NFL. That's the difference right there. Not one of top dog.
Fair enough. And then and the Jahmyr Gibbs run too, just a beautifully blocked play. Just a nice double team on the left side from Decker and Glasgow. They plowed the nose tackle back, took on the linebacker. Nice little backside help. I believe it was, I want to say Laporta on the backside block, but then it's just Gibbs speed beating the safety to the sideline, and then it was over.
His speed was outstanding. Did anyone see did they do a next gen miles per hour? He had to be hitting 22. He was going so fast. He burnt the angle on that safety. That safety had a decent angle on him, but it didn't matter. Yeah. Holy crap.
You're right. Past running backs we had on this team would have never made that edge, you know.
Best.
We might have got a 6, 7, 8 yard gain out of it. You know, Gibbs turns into a 70 yard touchdown. Just incredible talent.
He reached a top speed at 22.03. I believe it was the second fastest.
Oh, man. That's just like,
there's a
so awesome. Go ahead.
Second fastest speed by a ball carrier this season. Only Brian Thomas of the Jaguars, who ran 22.15 at one point on a end around or something.
Wow.
I knew you had to be going fast. Awesome.
Oh my God!
And also in this game, if you know, I have the stats up. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the first Lions player with a receiving touchdown in 5 consecutive games since who we think?
Who Wait, we say think? That again. Say the question again. Sorry, Z.
Since Amon-Ra St. Brown,
is the first player. Again. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the first Lions player with a receiving touchdown in 5 consecutive games in a season since who?
Oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown last year.
No.
I stealed you just answer, but I thought it was a good one.
Laporta.
No, Kelvin Johnson. No. Tony Lovett.
That makes sense.
I thought it was an obvious answer, but I guess not.
A lot of good receivers in this league.
Sorry, Kelvin. Yeah, we don't mean to forget you.
Oh, man. But, you know, this is just before we get in the offense or a little more about it, just we have to go to the special teams first because –
Leafs.
Khalif Raymond had his breakout game of the year.
What a game.
But 72-yard kickoff return from Khalil Dorsey, then Khalif Raymond 64-yard punt return, then a 90-yard punt return. They generated 262 total yards in returns, and with Raymond having 190 of those.
He should have had 2 touchdowns too.
Just wow.
He didn't realize that guy was slipping up behind him. If he kept just going to the sideline there and tried to beat the kicker with his convoy, I think he scores. Which, you know, whatever. It's not like it's consequential, but still.
Yeah.
Outstanding day. You know, he's the only player in NFL history to receive a receiving touchdown and return a punt for a touchdown in the same game. Only. He's one of one.
Oh, I didn't see that stat, but I love it.
Yeah, and so that's a good stat.
I love it. I love Dan Campbell's homage to him after homage. Go ahead.
I love the post game with
Dave. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
First of all, I love that guy. I love all his interviews. He's just such an interesting character, and the way he talks and his just demeanor. And he was just ecstatic, and I was so happy for him getting that. And his praise of this team and his players and his love of the
and Dan Campbell.
Football
I love how
Campbell.
He
I love
how he bookended it with God on both ends though, just to make sure the media can't cut it out. He's like, I want to thank God, and then at the end he's like, and thank God again for being here. It was great. I love it.
But he's just the character on that team, and I don't know if people appreciate him enough. You know,
he's fantastic.
So when you see those interviews, TroyLyons.com puts up every week, you got to watch the FIP interviews. They're always entertaining.
He's one I'm so curious about where his future lies, because to me, he seems like an obvious person to like groom for maybe an offensive coordinator position eventually. And like, he has that, like, I don't know, kind of that weirdness that Ben kind of has. He's kind of like got his oddities, and he seems really smart, and he has like a ridiculous amount of attention to detail on special teams. I mean, where else do you go? Maybe a head coach?
If I had to guess, I think he likes where he's at.
forever? You think he's hit a ceiling in his career? Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, you don't often see a special teams coach, especially at his age, move to an offensive coordinator or defense coordinator position at this point. If anything, they would move to a head coach after being special teams. There's some beliefs out there that special teams coaches are the best head coaching candidates. Like a John Harbaugh on the Ravens went from special teams coordinator to head coach because they touch all three phases of the game. Like they're working with everybody on the team, basically.
Right.
So that kind of gives them like the opportunity to have ownership over 53 players at once rather than like a defense coordinator only has half the team, offense half the team. Obviously, you know, there's many factors that go into that. But so if anything, head coach. But I personally think he will be there as long as he
wants to be.
I don't think he wants to go anywhere. He just gives that off. Like the vibes,
he might be. Some people find their niche, but I mean, he's just excellent at what he does. Usually, people like that tend to go places.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, it kind of speaks to what like Ben Johnson did this offseason. Like, the Lions have built such a good culture.
They want to stay.
Yeah, they want to stay. Like they're thoroughly enjoying their job, and to leave that, like. How does it get any better than the current culture and environment that they have in that building? It probably won't for many of them.
Did you see how Ben described it when he was asked about it? He said he wanted to stay in the sunshine just a little bit longer. I think Dan Campbell is kind of like that. He's like the damn sun, and people just want to be around him. Like Ben might be a great head coach, but he's not Dan Campbell. And, you know, I think being around Dan Campbell and working for and with Dan Campbell, like, I don't know. Like, I could see it. I could see a guy like Ben and Phipp and these guys, maybe even AG, like, doing kind of like Dick LeBeau did with the Steelers all those years. He stuck around and really just made them a consistently dominant defense for a long time. And I would love – could you imagine if, like, this staff just stayed intact at the top and, like, that could set up ridiculously unprecedented success, I think.
Oh yeah. Now I think Aaron Glenn really wants it badly. More even so than Ben Johnson. Yeah.
Do you think he's been offered legit yet?
Glenn?
He's been interviewed, but has he actually been extended any offers to
No, I think he would have taken it if he was. No,
oh, so hasn't. You think he's just hasn't had the opportunity yet, whereas Ben probably everyone assumes Correct. Ben's been given the opportunity too. Do we know he's ever been extended a job offer?
Well, he hasn't because he's shut it down before it got to that point. So I think the Redskins are ready to make him an offer. Their whole ownership team was flying to Detroit and then he shut it down before they came. So no, he sees Jane Daniels out there. I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, he's kind of wishing, but because I mean, it worked out for the Reds or Commanders because it's going really well for them this season to start at least. You know, I want to talk about it later, but since I just mentioned it, I'll bring it up really quick. You know, there is a difference in this, just within this division, even. But really, when you talk about culture and the difference it makes on the field and wins and losses, I think a really good emphasis of that is last week. And last week we played the Vikings, right? I'm starting to lose track of all the.
Yep.
Yeah, last week was Vikings. So just look at last week. Look at how we defended the Hail Mary and from roughly the same position on the field. We blitz five guys. First of all, we take a timeout. We assess. We come up with a game plan to attack the Hail Mary. The Bears, they don't take a timeout. And all their players were complaining about the coach not calling a timeout and getting them time to set up properly for the Hail Mary. And second of all, I don't know if you saw Tyreek Stevenson, the safety on the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Jarring with the crowd in the middle of the play, and then he turns around and he's like, oh shit, like the play's going, and then he's the one that ends up tipping the ball to the guy. And it was his guy that he was supposed to box out. They caught the ball.
It's just a bad look because it went against him. Like if he goes over and knocks the ball away, like no one's gonna give it.
But either way, I'm talking about
like he was there. It wasn't like, you know,
Do you think the Lions would have a guy that's doing that in the middle of the play? I'd say no way. I think there's a difference in culture and accountability. No. And I just think those two plays kind of show that, especially from like a game management, standpoint. And when all the players come out and question your game management of the coach, they didn't like, you know, like, oh, we trust Eberflus no matter what. Nope, they were questioning his coaching today in all the comments. Yeah. Like, oh, we were tired.
Well, they gave him the easy, 12, 15 yard out.
Right. It's the most obvious thing. I don't know why.
We did the exact opposite. We rushed out the first one. We gave him all the time in the world on the. But we gave him back. No, we didn't do the exact. We gave him all the time in the world on the first one and let him eat that clock. And then the next one, we blitzed and gave him no time. And, like, that's all the Bears had to do different was blitz on that second one, like we did. And they probably win that game. You can't, like, we've seen it. Aaron Rodgers, same thing. You can't give him forever because then. It breaks down the entire structure of everything, and that whole end zone becomes a scramble. And like, if then that's you just allow crazy things to possibly happen like that. I think that was brilliant the way we executed. And you know, I felt like watching that game. Right. I'm like, that's how we used to be. Like we would have been that team only like 5 or 6 years ago with all the stupidity happening, us blowing it.
Right.
No, like the Rodgers, the famous Rodgers pass, which I. Never came out.
Which
memory.
One? Which then, one? Then, the one when Cliff Avril got the bullshit face
the
mask.
Hail Mary.
And then,
well, there's not.
Yeah,
two.
That's the one.
There's at least two against us. I think he has at least two. He's done it, but multiple.
He's done it for other against one. Other teams, but anyway, not us.
Feels like he did it repeatedly every year.
He did it this year with the Jets. Against the Giants. He did it against the Cardinals.
He did it against the Cardinals.
That was a playoff game. He's very good at it.
Yeah.
Are you sure he didn't do it to us more than once? I feel like he did, but
it just feels
probably because like I see it all the time.
They do play it a lot. But getting back to this game, the Lions go up 7-0 right away. They trade a couple punts. Then the Lions give up a touchdown. You know, the defense wasn't great in this game. You know, despite
the two touchdowns, four turnovers.
Right. They gave up 266 yards. Well, Calvin Ridley was burning him early in the game.
Ridley had a good game.
Yes.
And Rudolph did a good job getting the ball.
And it kind of speaks again to, you know, we had the one sack. We did the pressure on the interception, but we're still not getting enough out of the edge, the Hutch hole. Nope. I don't know what do you guys think of Campbell's comments today? He was kind of like a giddy little schoolgirl talking about like getting an edge rusher.
He was. That was so weird. He's like jumping up.
I thought he was just having fun with the reporters with the silly question he's heard 1,000 times.
It seemed a little different than how he normally responds to things.
Yeah, I thought he was having fun with
it. I just wonder if they got something.
Clearly, our thread thought he had fun. Everyone, like seven people, posted the same exact tweet in our thread today, right back to back to back. I think maybe there was a dead horse being beaten. I don't know, but I will say I listened to it and I thought it sounded kind of like he was just like having fun with them. Like, is there an imminent trade? Like maybe in the next 24 hours, he's like, could be. And then he said, like, are you seriously? He's like, could be. And he was like, I thought he was joking with him. But you never know. Dan's a crafty man.
I sure would like to
I'm sure he's in a great mood
he
these days.
He is. They're crafty. But I would know, like to see him move.
I think I would personally. Too, but I don't like obviously I trust whatever Brad and Dan decide. Like if it's sitting still, it's going to be I just don't like cuz I don't know what the market even is out there. People can list all the names they want that they think are available, but things have to line up in a certain way and like not every guy is going to fit our mold and not every deal is actually on the table. So it's like I trust what they'll do. It'll probably be a little underwhelming to most people because like personally I love watching Trevor Nowaski develop. I love watching some of these guys, you know, it sucks we drop like flies freaking Rodrigo out but I like the talent we have on this roster already in a lot of ways. Could we use a little more top end help like a Hutchback? Obviously, but I think I'm curious to see how this develops. Even
on the Rodrigo front, it looks like it'll be a minimal injury. He might only miss a game or two at the very most. So that's good news. Finally, good news on the injury front.
It's just, it scares you when they're carting a guy.
Yeah,
off,
no though, kidding.
They initially thought it was a high ankle sprain, which has been a lot longer. But
that Arden Key looked good against us. We should have traded for him in that game. Everyone's been mentioning him.
So, I mean, the owner of the Raiders came out and said they're absolutely not trading Max Crosby, which drove up his value even more for the Lions when they eventually trade for him. But
We're not trading for
Madden. I know. It's not going to happen.
I don't really even like want him at this point. Like, he doesn't want to be leave the Raiders.
Josh Uche, from the Patriots, he got traded to the Chiefs. So that's another target that is gone now. Now Za'Darius Smith is a very popular name. He's on a $1.3 million salary cap hit. It's very minimal. He's 33. He's on the older side. He's a veteran, though. You know, he doesn't really move the needle for me.
Me either.
I mean, it's better than what we have.
Depends on what you get him for, because someone said a fourth round pick, and I can't even
went for a sixth rounder, I highly doubt a fourth, unless there's like some serious bidding war going on.
Maybe that'll help, because Za'Darius Thomas, like you said, Z, very underwhelming in terms of like better than some names out there, but not really many. Like, he doesn't excite me at all if we get him. I mean, he'd probably be better than like who we have in some cases, but
yeah, a couple other names still seen thrown out there, like. Outside chance, maybe Myles Garrett.
That would be sick.
Now, the Browns like haven't come out and like refuted trade rumors like the Raiders have about Garrett. So I think there may be something there, if the like a 3 first-rounders type of deal, Browns? Like a Khalil Mack trade. Would you do 3 first-rounders for Myles Garrett, yes or no?
No.
3? I could maybe begin around like 2, I could maybe consider, but 3, no.
How about 2 first-rounders, a second-rounder, and a 4th-rounder?
Oof, that's a lot of resources. Maybe more like 2 and like a 6th or something. Like, I couldn't. You're already giving him 2.
You give him a first rounder now and another first rounder.
I mean, you will consider that these are going to be late round, first round picks. But,
yep.
Two I could stomach, and maybe a little extra sprinkling on top of 2 is already a ton of resources. I mean, but if you had Myles Garrett for a couple of years with Aiden Hutchinson, you'd be looking at maybe the best defense in the league for those years. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to cause issues. We like Anzarike, who's playing great, is already looking like someone we might not be able to re-sign. Like, there's going to be things like that, but you'd have Aiden Hutchinson and Myles Garrett. So, like, you can afford a little bit of weakness elsewhere.
A couple other names floated out there. Jadeveon Clowney,
I'm good.
He would actually
I mean, if you got him cheap as hell.
I mean, he's a pretty versatile edge rusher. Though, I haven't watched him this year to know, but I couldn't tell you.
Sorry, I lost respect for that guy when he was in college. When he basically laid down his last season because he didn't want to get hurt, and then. How else do you explain the fact that he's bounced around the league? I don't know how many different teams
that he
now.
Signs.
Yeah,
he's always underperformed.
He's definitely a talented player. There's no doubt. But I question.
Well, if he comes to the Lions, maybe a little motivate him a little more. I don't know.
He's
still
if we
talented.
Get him for the right deal,
who knows?
He'd be better than what
there's
we
no
have
doubt
the
he's talented.
Currently.
I believe that.
I don't know about him as a locker room guy or anything. I haven't heard anything bad about him as a locker room guy. So.
I mean, just physical talent-wise, he'd be better, but I don't know if he's a better player than the guys we got.
Emmanuel Ogbah is another name. Baron Browning is another name I've heard. Also, the aforementioned, from a few podcasts, so, who we played this week, who did not have a good game in this one, Harold Landry.
Harold Landry.
Nope. That kind of goes to my motivation thing with the Titans as a whole. They
he was going
motivated.
To Sewell, though.
I thought Landry might be motivated to have
Sewell.
A great game against.
Maybe he didn't want to get traded
against Decker.
Maybe
I will say though, I don't get the sense that the Titans are looking to scrap their defense the same way they've moved pieces on offense. Like for one, DeAndre Hopkins already, I felt like that's a good resource to move. He's an aging receiver. You're not going to be able to take advantage of him in the short term. Might as well move him for some nice resources while he's still got some tread on his tires. Like, that offense is where they clearly need a lot of help. That defense is pretty stout. I would probably start building there if I was them. Like, why scrap what's already a solid unit, at least in the front 7? Like, that D-line was stout, man. They were tough. They gave our boys on the O-line a tough day in some cases. And so, I mean, I don't necessarily see them as a fire sale on defense. But so I'm not sure we'll be able to make a move for any of those guys for that matter. Hmm. Especially Arden Key makes plays like that, then you probably want to keep him around.
You can always make moves at the price.
Dan's expressed he's not in any kind of panic, so it suggests our prices aren't very high.
We're recording this on a Monday night after the game, of course, on October 28th. The NFL trade deadline is on Election Day, actually, on November 5th. Wow. So, what will be the bigger news? Who is the president or the NFL trades? I'm going to go NFL trades.
If we get Myles Garrett, then it will be huge.
Depends on the trade, I suppose. Hey, at least the deadline's like 3 o'clock Eastern or 4 o'clock Eastern. One, two. So we'll get that all the way in the day.
Trayvon Walker? Is there been any rumor that in that realm? Because I haven't heard
too much since I mentioned it a while ago. But that was more just because an ESPN article said it was just something they thunk up. No.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno can make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't know. I'd be down for that, though.
I think that could be a lot like the Montez Sweat. I think they're very similar players, like trade for the Bears, because he's just one of those big, freaky, strong dudes and with elite physical traits who isn't necessarily like Aiden Hutchinson with all that like finesse and like nuance to his game. But like when you're that size and that strength, you can just kind of dominate tackles. I mean, look what Sweat did. He went from that deep D line in Washington to coming to the Bears and becoming a stud for them.
Yeah. I mean, he was a stud in Washington too. That's why they traded
him. His pass rush was always kind of like,
yeah.
Well, he is. He's just a freak on the end. He's not the best pass rusher, but he's so damn big. He just gets some kind of funny wins where, like, he's just strong. But I think Walker's very similar in that way.
Yeah.
So getting back to this game a little bit, David Montgomery throws a touchdown pass to LaPorta. Beautiful throw. He likes to mention that he was a quarterback in high school. If you heard him talk about it on any podcast, he loves to talk about it.
That
was the best spiral by any Lions quarterback since Stafford days right there. That was
so he's one for one on the year throwing the ball. He's got a perfect quarterback rating. Jared Goff, no interceptions, 3 touchdowns. 85 yards for Goff this week. 85 passing yards.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone's so excited about Goff. His running back and wide receiver both have better completion ratings than him, their percentages than him.
Even Jack Fox, I think, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Goff was still, what, one?
Well, he threw was like 13 for 15 or something like that. He didn't do a whole lot, but he did what he did well.
12 for 15.
But I do. No. But one thing that bothered me a little bit, he did take
that
some
one
shots
sack
in this game, especially early on. Decker had probably the worst game I've
Decker
seen
got toasted.
In a while, pass blocking wise. He got toasted a few times, and I mean, he was great in the run game, and I think our whole line was. But
I think Goff was feeling a little bit like game. I don't know, like he had like thought he was Mike Vick or something out there a little bit too. I thought he tried to do a little too much with his legs in that game, where if he should have just got rid of the ball, like that one where he ate that like 30 yard sack where he got tweaked his ankle, I thought he was trying to do too much. Like, it's just fine. You know, I don't want to totally discourage that in him because generally, you know, you want that like it not give up attitude and just throw it away sometimes. But like, let's, you know, he's got to get rid of it sometimes. Right. And that one, he got caught trying to do a little too much, I think. And our O-line was a little leaky early in the game.
Yeah. You might be right. That's where you take a lesson from Brady, who took some of the lamest laydowns for a sack. You know, like, it looked like he was just scared. You know, but that's just smart. You know, I mean, you're not going to outrun these guys. Just take it. Just, you know. Yeah, he took a beating in this game a little bit. So
yeah, he just tweaked
his ankle. Okay. I think he will be, his ankle and stuff. And he played after that, so I'm not too worried about it. But he did take some hard shots, which we have to try.
I think they tried to pull him earlier, and he wanted to stay in, too. I heard something like that. Like, because they definitely could have. He probably didn't need to play any of that second half. I honestly, my most disappointing thing in this game is that Hooker let me down and didn't score the requisite four touchdowns to hit my prediction. So I was disappointed in Hendon Hooker in this game. No, I'm just kidding. Like, I mean, I was hoping he might do a little something out there, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Just
and,
running
you know,
the
like,
out,
like when you go in at the end, it's not like he just replaces Jared Goff. All those old linemen and receivers are swapping out. He ain't playing with the first string out there, and it shows.
But you got to admire the way that, and Campbell said it in the post-game speech, how they kept the pedal to the metal. And they have to do that, even against bad teams, you know. Like, it's in the third quarter, and I think they were up by 40-something. And then that pass to Leaf
was just
brilliant play design. God, it was just so brilliant. I mean, everyone thought Monty was running this thing in, right? And it was the most beautiful fake ever, and Leaf was wide open. I mean, it's just beautiful stuff.
It's a lot of fun to watch. It's so much fun to watch.
Actually, I don't know. I was almost bored by the weaker, inferior opponent. Like, they made it interesting for about 5 minutes in the beginning, and then we just kind of were having, like, playing backyard football the rest of the day.
But our reality is skewed right now, though. I mean, this team is so good, so we play a bad team.
What we're supposed to do.
We destroy. I mean, other good teams, like, you take any other really good team in this league right now, and they play the Titans. They'd beat them, but it'd be like 31-17 or something like that. We scored 52 points. Like,
it was easy. Like, it was just flowing football. Our defense was opportunistic.
The Lions are fourth in points per game this year. The Lions are fourth in total points scored this year, and they've played one less game than everybody else in the top 10. So,
hey, was our longest drive in that game the Gibbs touchdown? I think it might have been.
Yeah, for sure it was.
Oh, that speed.
I think it was.
So beautiful.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And also, Jake Bates made a career-long 51-yarder in this one as well. I just want to throw out that.
He's moving up.
Another plus for the special teams this week. So.
Yeah. Dorsey showing. I mean, I know we mentioned him, but like, that was just nice to see. Like, he's a legit threat out there.
Definitely.
You know, Bates has one miss extra point this whole year, and that's the only miss of the year, right? If I'm not mistaken. He is playing the kid. I like the kid. Zach,
I was talking about
you talked him up early before the season started.
Plus yard field
goal. Banned out.
It was just a natural transition.
It wrote itself, kind of.
Yeah. I hope he gets a chance to kick that record.
That'd be cool.
I think he's going
to get it. I mean, it's just another thing to add to the Lions' fun offensive list is let's kick it. Let's beat the NFL record for longest distance. He could definitely make a 67-yarder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Absolutely.
That would be
awesome. Someone's going to do it eventually. Might as well be our guy.
I thought Reader played decent. He was in the middle there anchoring pretty good. Alima's looked – it was active.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else I just want to mention.
I mean, Jack Campbell had the team in tackles, 11 tackles.
Campbell played well. He rated
all over
poorly.
He's been getting better and better.
Campbell
as
played
we go
very
along.
F, but do you know what? Levi got rated like 80 plus on PFF? Like, he got the highest rated defender. Like, man calls
a
pick. So that
I didn't get to dive into it too much, unfortunately, for this episode, but love to hear it. I think my favorite play arguably is Kirby Joseph just like running full speed on an interception.
That was a great pick.
It looked like a locomotive just like came into the screen all of a sudden. It was Kirby Joseph with the pick. Like, talk about reading the eyes of the quarterback and attacking.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Our safeties are so opportunistic, man. I mean,
I think it is so much picked down by the refs a little bit in that game, if you ask me. I think that one on the goal line was utter BS call on the pass interference. It was perfect defense is what it was.
Yeah.
And they gave him a freebie.
Well, I mean, Lions have two of the top three interception leaders in the NFL with Kirby and Brian Branch. Kirby with 5, Brian Branch with 4. Now, Green Bay, Xavier McKinney, has 6, and the Lions and Packers, obviously, playing this upcoming week. So, if there's someone to watch out for, it'll be...
I guess we'll just have to run over them instead of throwing...
Yeah.
Throw at them on purpose. Let Amon-Ra go off.
Amon-Ra, 2 catches and a touchdown. So I mean,
yeah, 2 for 7.
It's such a weird game, though, you know. Like, and then Laporta had
one. Every touchdown was by a different player in this game.
Yeah, it was good to see him catch the ball.
Sick.
How awesome is that, though, from a team standpoint? I know these guys aren't going to be padding their stats, you know, for that next contract. It's too bad. But from a team concept, man, it's so beautiful.
You're wrong,
you know, spread the wealth around.
Are you talking about offense?
Oh, Khalif Raymond. Sorry, too.
You got the double.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
On offense, it was everyone.
Yeah.
But Goff spread the love.
Yeah, Gibbs, Montgomery to rushing, then Laporta, Raymond, Brock Wright, and Amon-Ra with a touchdown receiving.
Both our top 2 tight ends on tight end day.
Amazing.
Got touchdowns. Freaking amazing.
Hey, even Isaiah Williams got a catch in this game. Eden Hooker got a little bit of time in. 2 for 3. 6.
Isaiah was active in this game?
He did.
I missed
a catch.
When?
Did you turn off the game?
You got a catch.
Oh, man. I think my focus weekend, we were just dominating so much.
They didn't get the 70 like you predict, Red Dog, but they're getting there. They're getting close every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing freaking amazing. You know, in the last 4 games, we have like a whole extra game worth of points behind ahead of like the next. Like we have 34 more points scored in the last 4 games than the next highest scoring team.
Well, I believe it.
It's crazy.
40 plus points a game.
And the thing is, we didn't just, it wasn't all scrubs. I mean, unless the Vikings are just the ultimate pretenders, which, hey, you know, it might. I agree.
We
broke them, though.
That was a good team.
I know every team that plays the Lions.
Tampa Bay was a good team.
Loses the following year.
Honolulu flew, baby. I love it. It's the best betting edge
in
football, ladies and gentlemen. Book it. Bet against the freaking Titans next week. I mean, granted, that is already probably easy, but, you know, they're playing, I think, the Patriots, who aren't great either, so
yeah,
it don't matter. They're about to lose. It sucks for them.
Yeah.
Well, help. Maybe that'll loosen them up for Landry or Key, maybe. Send them our way.
I mean, just a fun game overall. Unfortunately, it's not like a lot to dive into because it's just an odd game with a lot of special teams. But just on the return from Khalif Raymond, himself keeps pointing out that Anzalone had a great block on that one to kind of spring him free at the end there. I mean, obviously, when on a return like that, it's everybody, but. It's just cool to see, like, you have this guy out there for, you know, 50, 60 plus plays, and he's also out there laying the key block on a punt return. So
I love Dan Campbell's, like, accounting of, like, the acquiring of Leaf. Like, it's like almost like a father who's, like, talking about when his, like, son was born. It's like, he's just, it's so great.
I was going to mention that, how awesome that was, him talking.
Yep.
That guy bounced around to a few teams. He was undrafted free agent, bounced around to like 5 teams, and then the Lions picked him up. Well, they tried him out, right? And Campbell, they asked Campbell.
No, he showed him film. He
showed him film of him,
This kid's got something. Oh, film. Okay. And just, wow.
Versatile.
But Leaf, to his credit, man, I mean, this kid is, he's been versatile,
he's a
solid,
workhorse,
just a rock,
man. Like,
man.
Did you see, you remember like during camp?
Incredible.
Do you remember camp? It's like they're all challenging to be who's just more focused. It's like there was that one where he was mic'd up during camp, and he's like, he's already talking about how the coaches aren't focusing enough on the drill, and he's like, then he just goes through with utter intensity, and you can just see that, man. Like, you're right, he's not alone on this team, but he's definitely one of the exemplifiers of just the culture and the grit and the determination, the work ethic, the focus. The dude is just, there's a reason Dan Campbell loves him so much. It's not because he's just fast or he's got great talent. It's because that dude is bought in every way Dan has asked him to, and leads the pack in many ways. He's just like a stud to have. Like, we lose J-Mo, it's like, oh, whoop-de-doo, we got Leaf, baby. He stepped up big.
Yeah, it's just really fun to say. This has just been a blast being able to watch. Like, you just sit down and you're like, we're gonna win this game. How by how much? I don't know. But like, I did not go into this game at all, like, at all worried. Like, we are just, I think, that good of a team. This team's better than last year. I think that's for certain.
If anything, I'm sitting there during the game, like, y'all got any of that, like, anxiety? Y'all got any, like, I need my fix of, like, anxiety and nerves, because this is, like, too easy.
Well, last week at it.
Yeah, right?
Well, like, they borrowed some of this week for last week. But
your eyes just like, oh, the Lions got another fumble. Oh, I'm Meek, baby. He even got, like, a little, like, credit to replace, like, the peanut punch. A Meek Peek or something? What did he say? The announcer.
What?
One of the announcers during the game, because, like, what, he had two forced fumbles with punch outs, and the announcer, I forget who they even were, but said, like, oh man, they had the peanut tillman punch. Well, now it's the Meek Peek. that doesn't make sense, but
I like it.
He played great though, and that he gave up that one tut. I think you give a Meek like a gut blow early in a game and he just ascends. Like, there was that film when we traded for him or we signed him, and it was that game where, like, the receiver beats him real bad and then does like a little short man gesture, and Amik proceeds to, like, just make his life a living hell for the rest of that game, and, like, just shuts him down, forces fumbles, crushes him in the flat. And this game, he gets beat by that Ridley touchdown, and he calls his two forced fumbles to make up for it. Like, dude's good, man. If he was a little taller, he'd be an elite top-end corner in this league. He's just got that short man syndrome, but it makes him nasty.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see what happens at the trade deadline. But if we want to, you know, we're going to turn it down to episode. So just to wrap up what else happened at division. So Minnesota loses to the Rams on Thursday night football, 30-20. Controversial face mask call at the end of that play that was not called. It was clearly a face mask. Not that they probably would have gone down and scored anyways, but nonetheless, we'll never know.
That ref had the under.
Yeah, we're fine with that call. We're fine with them losing. We're not going to lose sleep over them, though.
I mean, it was foretold. They already played us last week, so you knew they were losing this week.
Right, exactly. Right. Stafford looked really good in that game. But
he did.
The Bears obviously losing the Hail Mary. Just hilarious. Just absolutely hilarious fashion. I had money on the Bears, and I didn't even care. Like, I was fine with how they lost. I was just laughing.
So funny.
And then just seeing
all
the reaction from the Bears fans is just so funny. Wow.
It's crazy though that they're melting down. Like, they're what, 4-3 now? After a game they should have won, but like, they melt down that, like, this, like, you were talking about culture earlier. Like, regardless of the little shenanigans, like, of that guy, like, looking up into the crowd or whatever, they lose that game and then they show doubt, they show weakness, they turn on each other. That don't happen to Dan Campbell's teams. We lost a game we should have won against the Buccaneers. It was that okay, on to the next one. Like, Dan Campbell has this team fully on track, and like, even if we slip, we know they're going to react and they're going to come back, and they're playing such damn good football right now as a whole team, and that's why they're the best team right now. I mean, like, honestly, like, the Chiefs, like, right now it's the Chiefs and the Lions in the NFL, and like, and it's because they're the two best actual full-on teams, not just because they have the best talent, which they kind of do, but they have everything. They're all pushing, rowing together.
Well, on Good Morning Football, they were arguing about that this morning. Who's the best team in the NFL, the Lions or the Chiefs? And a couple of people said the Lions because of their thoroughly dominating fashion and the way they're playing right now. And their offense is just like on. This is like they talked about the greatest show on turf with the Rams back in the days. The Lions may surpass that. We just haven't come up with a nickname for it yet. But, you know, but then the other argument was that the Chiefs, a couple of guys thought the Chiefs were the best team simply because they're undefeated and they're winning, even though they're not playing great. And there's an argument to be said for that, you know, and they played a couple of good teams and they're still somehow pulling games out despite not playing well. And you can argue however you want, but I just think just as a dominating football team right now, the Lions, I agree. Are just the best.
I would agree. I don't know how you can. So, you know, the Chiefs have been like eking out these ugly games left and right every week.
Yeah. I mean, so little. Like, honestly, I mean,
a win's a win in the NFL, and they're undefeated, and they're the defending champs.
What do they know? What has Mahomes and Reed and crew proven time and time again? Make the tournament. It don't matter what the regular season looks like. And you got to think that team who's been through it emotional edges. They're just going out and trying to execute. Like, I think the Lions are doing it better overall right now, but, you know, the Chiefs have a lot of talent. And so they're winning every game because they just are the consummate professionals, and they're playing teams who have weaknesses.
So rest of the division I guess I mentioned the other two. So Green Bay, they squeak out a win against the subpar Jaguars. Now it was on the road. It's always hard to win on the road, but they did not look super great in that game. Jordan Love played hurt a lot of the game. He has a groin injury, so that's something to monitor throughout this week. So Malik Willis played the second half. He actually looks pretty good in that offense, not gonna lie. He needs to be drug tested or something. He looks like a completely different human being than the one that existed in Tennessee for the last couple of years.
Well, after what we just saw the Titans, it's not a stretch to think that maybe they weren't the best place to develop a young quarterback.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's all new coaching staff there now.
Yeah, whatever. I feel like they're idiots. Like, they just abandoned Vrabel at the first sign of, like, issues. He had that team playing well for a long time. I thought, like, well, they get rid of their best running back.
There's more a difference in ideology about how to move forward between him and ownership, I guess, Vrabel and the Titans. So
that's a great highlight to why the Lions are so special, because Sheila's got this thing humming from top to bottom.
Oh, yeah.
She chooses.
So as the standings are, the Lions have a one-game lead on the one seed right now. So there's a little extra breathing room. The Commanders are in second. But, of course, the big game is the Lions and the Packers this week. If the Lions win this one, they'll have like a game and a half cushion since they beat the Vikings in terms of the head-to-head. But the Washington Commanders, the rookie quarterback, are hanging in there. And they have a pretty decently easy schedule the rest of the way. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him.
That kid over there, their quarterback, he has that kind of like he kind of gets it. I think that like some scrambling quarterbacks make all scrambling quarterbacks look better because they make it look easy. And he's one of those guys that just kind of seems to get it. You know, he knows how to buy the right time to find targets downfield. He's not making spectacular 80-yard runs with his legs. He's running around and throwing the ball downfield to open receivers. That's what Mahomes does. That's what the really good ones do. And I am impressed with him so far. A guy like that gives you a fighting chance.
Yeah, you know who doesn't quite have it yet? Caleb Williams. Missing a lot of easy passes.
There's also that, like, well, that's
easy
true.
They're like easy throws. Now, he also makes some spectacular throws, but He is far from consistent. He's not as bad as Anthony Richardson, the Colts quarterback. If you want to see how it can go south fast, watch him.
He never it was already there. They just didn't pay attention to the signs. They looked at his freak athletic. No, they looked at his freak athletic potential, ignored his absolutely trash stats in college, his terrible accuracy.
Right. Do you want to know his stats from this week, though?
Yeah, let's hear it. It's probably
10 for 32, but 175 yards passing. So
it sounds about right.
He completed a 70-yard pass. It was just a really – and they lost by three.
Sometimes coaching don't matter. You can have all the physical talent if you don't have the right wiring.
He took off a play because he was tired.
It kind of reminds me – do you remember the year we drafted Calvin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard Marcus. That. You remember the year we drafted Calvin Johnson?
Well, that was
Russell. Who was
truly
the quarterback that the Raiders, Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell Well, this kind of reminds me of the same thing. Like Jamarcus Russell, because he made a couple like heaves in the Cowboys
sitting
down whole game or something. He could throw an 80-yard pass or whatever. Like, oh, we got to draft this guy first. Thank God the Raiders took him. Thank God. Otherwise,
I don't know. It would have been,
you know, we'd be talking
about
Matt Miller
and Mike Williams. It's like two, like a receiver and a quarterback that could like both transition to tight end because they ate so many Big Macs.
Maybe the Lions organization would have whipped him into shape.
Yeah, right. That organization was top notch then too.
Yeah, right.
Calvin could tell you how great it was.
Only Matt Patricia could have like brought a Jamarcus Russell in the building. What history could have done for those two? They just really grind that guy.
Oh my God, yeah.
The great Matt Patricia, yes. Sorry.
You got to see the great Matt Patricia.
His I believe all his right. four-wheeler is commemorated in the Lions Hall of Fame.
Let's wrap it up here.
So,
of course, I want to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Crushing it every single
week.
We want to thank SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Yeah. Apple, Spotify, where your podcast. Please download. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. Really appreciate that. Catch us on our social media. That's at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions, and then, of course, on YouTube, type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid or at DTBK_Lion. Subscribe to the channel. Be alerted when we go live or if we post any videos up there from our podcast. Otherwise, we will be back later this week, probably releasing the episode on Thursday, previewing a big matchup where the Lions travel to Lambeau Field to start off the November, the month of November, with a victory in Green Bay to move to 7-1 and try to lock up this division.
Hey, I have a radical hot take prediction right now, Z.
A radical hot take. Okay.
I predict that the Blue Kool-Aid crew will predict favorably for the Lions in our upcoming predictions.
That is a bold prediction right there.
Call me crazy.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly, greatly appreciate you. And thank you for coming along this ride on this Lions Super Bowl 2024-2025 season. We greatly appreciate you. And last but not least, as always,
go
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.